The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. And I am here today with Dawn Gross, owner and service provider of St. Louis Dementia Counseling here in St. Louis. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. So tell me a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. So I am obviously from the St. Louis area. I'm a licensed clinical social worker here, and I opened St. Louis Dementia Counseling in October of 2017. And I went to school locally at the University of Missouri Columbia for my undergraduate degree, where I studied social work. Then I moved back to St. Louis and went to Washington University, and where I got my master's of social work, specializing in gerontology and mental health. So I really, you know, I enjoy working with older adults. I have years experience working with the aging population. It's just kind of a niche that I like to serve and be around. And so I've been able to build this practice to work with that client population in particular, really pertaining to, you know, what I love to do.
That's wonderful. And I feel like sometimes it's not always everyone's preferred population to work with, right? But there's mm-hmm. It can be a really rich and wonderful experience.
Yeah, there definitely, you know, there's a little bit of a stigma, I think, towards working with the aging population. And so I really pride myself in being able to work with them and value that relationship.
Yeah, and I think that stigma comes from, you know, there are some unique challenges. And of course, one of them being something that we're going to talk about today, which is sure. dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, well, tell me a little bit more about what you do.
So I provide counseling services to a variety of clients in the aging area. So it could be somebody who's been diagnosed with memory loss. It could be a caregiver that's working with a family. It could be a spouse that's, you know, going through that journey with the person with memory loss. It could be an adult child that has a strong relationship to a person with memory loss. And it could just be somebody aging in general, not with dementia, you know, that's just going through various life transitions. So
Yeah. Okay. Well, in those transitions, it's great to have someone like yourself to be able mm-hmm. to ease those. I've had a lot of interesting conversations with people around retirement and those transitions in life and how important it is to make that as smooth as we can be there and support.
Definitely.
Great. So, all right, let's talk a little bit more about, let's just start with what exactly is dementia?
So dementia is essentially just another term for memory loss. Dementia is just a general kind of umbrella term where there's lots of different types of dementia. It's just you have to figure out what's causing it. So if you think of dementia as the umbrella, then there's all the little kind of raindrop what's beneath that indicating the different types of dementia. So there's over 100 different types. So,
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So all right, well, let's learn a little bit more about dementia then. Mm-hmm. So is it, and by the way, is that considered normal aging?
It is not. So that's a really good point to bring up, is that dementia should not be a normal thing. It is an exception to the rule. And so if somebody is experiencing memory loss symptoms, that could be an indication that, you know, something is off. And so that's why it's really helpful to seek medical attention or to see a counselor to try to figure out what's causing that dementia, because it's not normal.
Okay, so getting to root causes of what's going on there. And I mm-hmm. love that. That's really what we're all about on the show with the integrative and functional approach that I love to take. Mm-hmm. So, I actually kind of knew the answer to that question before I even asked it, because I've spent a lot of time researching and reading and, One of my favorite books is The Blue Zones, which I know we were talking about before the show, and we're saying that you're going to pick up. But yeah, it's by Dan Buettner, and he traveled the world and basically looked for pockets of the population throughout the world where people live to regularly be 100 years plus and have all of their faculties about them and fully in motion and really living healthfully for such a long time. And so, yeah, this doesn't have to be, dementia doesn't have to be part of our fate,
right,
of our life.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So, and then one of the more common forms of dementia is Alzheimer's, right?
Correct. Yes. That is the most common form. So that's, typically the one that we hear talked about because it is the most common. And right now there's about over 5 million people just in the United States alone that have Alzheimer's disease. So, just general dementia, even those numbers would be even larger than that because there are so many other different types of memory loss.
Wow. And so, and you said it can be caused, of course, getting back to those root causes, what are some examples of things that would cause forms of dementia?
So dementia, since, it is just memory loss, it can be caused by a number of different things. It could be caused by medications that have a side effect of memory loss. It could be caused by alcoholism, things like depression. It could be caused by other diseases such as Huntington's disease or Parkinson's disease that all just have the symptom of memory loss. So dementia is not a specific disease. It's just a symptom. And so, Alzheimer's is, like I said, one of those specific types of dementia. So it's really important to try to figure out what's causing the memory loss in order for it to possibly be treated.
Okay. And then, so question that's coming to mind for me is when we talk about memory loss, a lot of people think maybe, where did I put my keys today?
Sure.
Or somebody's name.
Yeah.
But so there are also other types of memory loss, I'm guessing though, right? In terms of like your brain stops being able to process certain biological functions and things?
Yeah, so definitely. If it is Alzheimer's disease, it is progressive and, terminal disease, essentially. It's going to continue and get worse over time. So that's not always the case with dementia, since some types of dementia can be treated and reversed. So things like depression or a medication issue, that can be treated and resolved where that memory loss could go away. But with Alzheimer's, it just continues to get worse over time. So eventually towards the end stages is when it starts to affect the bodily systems, like, your heart rate or being able to swallow, those types of functions. But obviously you see memory changes along the way. It might start off with things like not remembering how to balance a checkbook or not remembering how to put gas in your car or how to get to work when you're driving there. Things like that kind of build up over time.
Okay. So how can counseling be beneficial for aging adults? I guess let's back up and kind of,
sure.
Yeah, because I think we're going pretty deep there and we're going to get a little deeper actually after the break.
Okay.
But let's back up and talk about just in general how counseling can be beneficial for aging adults.
Sure. So, with the aging population, over time, as many of us experience, we lose certain relationships or connections and go through lots of different life transitions. So with the aging population, we experience a lot of life transitions, such as retirement, losing a loved one, family and friends moving away, children growing up and moving out of the home, various health problems. So, those things are really good to be able to have a connection, to be able to process those feelings and how that's really affecting somebody's life, because those are big life events. And so if it causes somebody to become more depressed or to, isolate themselves and reduce their activity, that can not only provide or cause loneliness, but also it could lead to other health implications such as memory loss because they're not using their brains anymore.
Yeah. And so talking about, we are social creatures by nature. Mm-hmm. And when people start to isolate, or when those connections are lost for one reason or another. Yeah. I know, again, kind of circling back to that book, Blue Zones, that was one of the common threads through those pockets of centenarians throughout the world was that, they really they really had a lot of social connections, mm-hmm. and their sense of community and family and so on was very strong. So having someone like yourself to be able to come and talk to when mm-hmm. some of those connections are severed or things are in transition, I could see where that would be really, really helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of people, you know, there's a different relationship between a friend and a medical professional of sorts.
Sure.
And so being able to have that kind of confidential, safe space to really open up about what they're going through, it's not always something that they could share with another family member or a friend. And so having that ability to process those things is really what, you know, counseling can help with at any age. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I've certainly had that experience myself.
Sure.
All right. So, and you mentioned that someone with memory loss, they can participate in counseling. So what does that look like and how is that different?
Sure. So it's definitely possible for somebody with memory loss to participate in counseling. With Alzheimer's in particular, it would be somebody still in the earlier stages of the disease where they can participate in a conversation and talk about if they know that they're diagnosed, how that's affecting their day-to-day life, kind of processing internally what's going on with them. You know, a lot of people might be confused, like, what's going on with me? Why can I do this sometimes and not other times? So it's really good to be able to process once you receive that diagnosis and be able to deal with that and learn how to cope with it.
Yeah, and I can only imagine what that would be like. You know, talking about medication-related memory loss, you know, when I was on a ton of medications for autoimmune disease and going through really the thick of it with brain inflammation and mm-hmm. things like that, I remember having periods of time where I would lose certain memories. Nothing ever extraordinarily drastic, but I do remember how unsettling it was.
Sure.
And so I can only imagine the anxiety and some of the other kind of, I guess, I don't know if I want to call them side effects, but other symptoms that come along with this particular type of medical issue.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, it's good to be able to process those things and, you know, not only for the individual with memory loss, but for a caregiver or a close relative that's helping support that person. Definitely.
Absolutely. Well, Dawn Gross, I'm excited to have you back after the break to talk a little bit more about these important issues. And this is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM, and we will be back very soon. This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. And we are back with Dawn Gross of St. Louis Dementia Counseling. And welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
So before the break, we were talking a little bit about your practice and about how you work with, what dementia is and the fact that there are over 100 different types. I had no idea.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
And then, of course, the most familiar to most people being Alzheimer's. But talking about how counseling and some of these other things that we can do to help not only the patients, but then also caregivers, mm-hmm. How you're addressing that in your practice every day. So thanks for the good work you're doing, first off.
Of course.
And, I guess let's step back into... So now that we know more about counseling for older adults and like those with memory loss, can we learn a little bit more about how to prevent certain types? I guess that's really where I want to go with this half.
Sure, definitely. So the general idea is that keeping our bodies healthy is going to keep our brain healthy. So it's really important to stay engaged in an active lifestyle, especially as we age, since a lot of the times, you know, people are retiring, they're reducing their level of energy a little bit, but it's really important to find ways to still stay active, whether that be getting involved in somebody's community. Some older adults do choose to work a part-time job. It just depends on, you know, their abilities, of course, and also what they're interested in. We want them to remain active in something that they enjoy, whether it's being around family and friends, joining a bowling league or volunteering at a local nonprofit. Things like that can add to their life overall enjoyment, but also keep them engaged, which keeps their brains and their bodies healthy.
Yeah, and I'm going to do it again. I'm throwing it back, guys, if you haven't read The Blue Zones. Read The Blue Zones. But yeah, that's one of the commonalities within those pockets of aging adults that really stay fully alert and active right up to their 100th year of life, right. Is that, you know, actually in some of the cultures, they don't even have a word for retirement.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
There's not even a word.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. It's something that we do here in kind of in the Western world, mm-hmm. but there are places in the world where that's not even a thing. And right. So yeah, staying engaged and involved and filled with purpose, a mm-hmm. purpose filled life.
Right. I think it's really easy for people as they're reaching that age of retirement to kind of get a little bit stuck. You know, like you said, in the Western world, we're extremely used to having a career, constantly being active and having a purpose and working on things to get to a goal. And once somebody leaves the workforce, they're kind of lost a little bit sometimes. So that's why it is so important to try to find something that they can do that they enjoy and be active on a regular basis, because it's really easy to kind of get stuck in a rut to say, you know, and just start staying at home, watching more TV, and not really getting out and doing things.
Yeah. And so actually, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to something that we were going to talk about a little later in this segment. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned, you know, people working a 9-to-5-er, you know, for all these right. years, and then maybe Alzheimer's or something is setting in. And one of the interesting symptoms of Alzheimer's, I think, is sundowners.
Yeah, definitely. That's, you know, a symptom where towards the afternoon or later on in the day, we really start to see behaviors or increased confusion kind of creep up. And really, it has to kind of do with our circadian rhythm. Throughout the day and throughout our lives, we're just used to probably starting our day early morning, 7, 8, 9, working throughout the day till 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the day. And then we're kind of ready for our day to be done. And so essentially that pattern sticks with us throughout our life, even if we're not working. And so with Alzheimer's disease, towards that later end of the day is really when we can start to see, like I said, increased confusion, more difficult behaviors such as agitation, restlessness, argumentativeness. Sometimes it will cause some wandering. So it's really important to be able to, for somebody with memory loss, to take a little bit more frequent breaks, have a little bit more rest time in between things, and try to get good sleep at night. That can make a big difference. And really, overall, just trying to keep the person engaged at the right level of engagement.
Okay. So what are kind of the top three causes of dementia? I know that you had this kind of in your notes, and I thought it was a bit interesting.
So the top cause of dementia or Alzheimer's disease is going to be age. So, you know, it is, like we said, it's not a normal part of aging, but as we get older, the likelihood of Alzheimer's setting in does become a higher possibility. So that mark really typically starts around age 65, 75, and then as you get older, that likelihood will continue to increase over time. So the second most common cause of dementia is genetics. So of course we can't control our genetic history, but that can account for up to 20% of our likelihood to end up getting Alzheimer's disease. And genetics is really a factor typically where we might see earlier onset. So if there is a genetic factor, that's going to sometimes lead to somebody seeing those memory loss symptoms a lot earlier than it would if it's just typically related to age.
Okay. And then, of course, the third being lifestyle, which we've already touched on. And I think we'll dive a little bit more into that here momentarily. But yeah, I have to pause and just say, so my grandmother had dementia, not Alzheimer's full on, but dementia. And it was terrifying. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
To watch that disease progress. You know, and hers, I think, were caused by some lifestyle factors, I know. But also, you know, genetically, I know that we have some mental disorders that run in that side of the family. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really, you know, personally, and I know a lot of people share this interest with me, but I'm really interested in figuring out how not to go down that path.
Sure.
So, you know, and one of the things that she did was smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that increases what gray matter in the brain and.
Yeah, definitely. You know, things like smoking, drinking, you know, just general what we're inputting into our bodies is going to have a lifelong effect. And while we might not think of it as, oh, this is going to affect us 10, 20 years down the road. It really does. So it's important to, if you are doing those things, to try to make a change and it really put a focus on your health and well-being, because it really does have a lasting effect on us.
Yeah, and I have the conversation all the time with people in my health coaching practice where they're like, well, you know, and some people come to me and they've got illnesses and issues that we're dealing with. And so we're going on various different diets or trying to figure out, you know, what's going to work well for their body and their issues. But, you know, there are people that come to me that are like, well, I just think that maybe it would be good to eat healthier. So I thought maybe I could get a couple recipes, you know.
Sure.
And it's really, it's like getting into their why and saying, okay, you know, you've had some minor issues, but I know you don't feel really bad when you eat right now, but what's it going to look like in X number of years, and helping them to get that picture of, you know, what do they want the rest of their life to look like and how do they want to live and show up in their life as they age.
Yeah.
So yeah, really getting that picture. But, so I guess just, of course, we talked about, you know, what's good for the heart is good for the brain. I love that you say that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then staying active, but then nutritionally, I guess just anti-inflammatory diet, making sure that we're getting good brain healthy, you know, fats, things like that in is going to help, and reducing sugar.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, if we're putting a lot of bad things, we know what's bad for our bodies, you know, so it just takes a little bit of common sense to know what we're putting into our bodies and how that's going to affect us down the road. You know, we know we shouldn't drink 10 sodas a day. You know, that's a pretty common factor. So it's really just being conscious and making conscious decisions about how you're treating yourself, and knowing that it might feel good right now, but down the road it's probably going to have a different effect.
It's probably going to come. Yeah. What you're biting is probably going to come back to bite you.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Gotcha. All right. So, all right. I guess, you know, are there any other early warning signs, things that we should look for? Because I've heard that diseases like Alzheimer's can, you know, again, and I know you said with genetic factors in play, it can definitely start much earlier. But what are kind of some of the early symptoms, early warning signs that we should be looking for, and
sure,
when?
Yeah, so there's essentially, it's just daily disruptions in your normal life. So as you start to see changes over time, where, you know, you could start, somebody's going to have a little bit more trouble step by step with processes, and being able to follow instructions or knowing what to do in what order, like how to get dressed in the morning. For us, it's a no-brainer. Or brushing your teeth. We can do that in a matter of, you know, however long, 2 minutes or something. There's a lot of little steps that we just don't think about that we've just learned over time, and it becomes a part of natural daily life to us. So it's being aware of when you're missing steps or you're not sure of where little things are that normally, like if you're in a bathroom, where the hand towels would be or where the soap would be or how to turn the faucet on. It's just kind of those little things that we just don't think of. We just do them, that those things would start to fade away over time.
Mm, okay. All right. And then, you know, I guess, I like what you said before about how you feel about your health and your body, you know, and being, it will help to keep people active and keep people engaged, right?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, it all comes down to, if we are feeling good about ourselves and staying active and staying engaged, that's just going to lead us to be more likely to be involved with other people, stay physically active, but also mentally and emotionally engaged. And so we're able to, you know, help prevent some of those other symptoms, whether it is memory loss or other general health conditions, if we're feeling good about ourselves. If we're not, we're more likely to maybe have some increased depression, start to isolate ourselves, not participate in activities or spend time with family or friends. And if we kind of get into that pattern, that's going to somewhat lead to that brain activity decreasing, which could then lead to that cell death that is really the cause of Alzheimer's.
Great. Yeah, I wanted you to touch on that again because I just think it's so incredibly important.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Dawn, thank you so much for being here today.
Of course. Yeah, I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, I so appreciate it. I think it's really important that we talk about this and keep talking about it and making sure that people know that there are people like you out there to give support.
Definitely.
Yeah. So if you want to go ahead and just give everyone a little information on how to contact you, if they'd like more information or to get in touch with you for your services.
Sure. So again, it's St. Louis Dementia Counseling, and the website would be stldementiacounseling.com. I also have a Facebook page where that you can follow, and you can reach out to me via phone at 636-275-1560.
So thank you, Dawn Gross. Appreciate you being here today. And this is Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. For more information about my health coaching services or to contact me, please find me online at amandalaplante.com or on Facebook at Get Real to Heal. And for back episodes of this show, check us out on soundcloud.com/Get Real to Heal. Have a great day.